really cool. I guess it would be really cool to shoot the lowest score to par in U.S. Open history. That was Justin Thomas after his historic day in Erin, Wisconsin Saturday. Well, good morning to you. More importantly, happy Father's Day to the dads out there and to all the moms that also play the role of dad. Welcome to another edition of Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on the official home of the NHL's newest franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. I said we because always here with me, pushing all the right buttons and taking your calls is my friend and future Nevada Broadcasting Hall of Fame member, Out of Line producer Magnum. We come to you live from the Fox Sports studio in Las Vegas and streaming on LVSportsNetwork.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook, the page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you have an opinion or something to add, give Magnum a call and convince him to put you on the show. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. Today, being the special day that it is, we'll start off by talking to the man that is partially responsible for me doing this show. As a matter of fact, he's partially responsible for me being on planet Earth. My father, Dr. Irwin Feldman, avid sports and especially golf fan, will be joining us shortly. Also here to help celebrate Father's Day and assist with this week's Las Vegas 51s report, Doug Bradford will be in studio, and his son, Las Vegas native and relief pitcher of the Las Vegas 51s, AAA franchise of the New York Mets, Jason Bradford, will be on the phone from Reno, where the 51s will be playing the Reno Aces this afternoon. We have a pretty cool interviewing situation set up for them, that's for sure, and it makes it worth it to stick around and hear that, so make sure you do that. The much-anticipated NHL Awards and NHL Expansion Draft will finally be here in Las Vegas this week. I was on the Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish last week, and we had four-time Stanley Cup champion and Hall of Famer Dennis Potvin on the show. Dennis Potvin was part of the reason I wanted to learn how to play hockey. He is in town to give the Norris Trophy to the league's best defenseman. We'll hear some of that interview this morning. And the NBA draft and real NHL draft are also this week, and they won't go unmentioned. Plus, Blazin is on the links, and fact this is on the hardwood. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff, where the only majors are mayhem and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. That's right, they are always on. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. To learn more, check out bubbysuniversity.com. Now, before I bring my father on the show, I want to let you know what my father, means to me. This is a poem which is called exactly that. I wrote it for his 70th surprise birthday party. Two things you need to know prior to hearing this poem. One is that I have never shared this poem on the radio before. And two, my father is not narcoleptic, but he does tend to randomly fall asleep at times. And you do need to hear that to hear the poem. What does my father mean to me? That is a question that anyone that has ever met him can see. He is my hero, my idol, a man among men. Whenever he's asked to do anything for anyone, his response is always where and when. He's a doctor by choice, by trade, and by will. He always has a diagnosis, a cure, and a pill. Yeah, he takes on everyone else's problems, many times disregarding his own. When Irwin Feldman is in your life, you are never alone. Now, when it comes to his family, especially his children, his grandchildren, and his wife, his boundaries are limitless. He would sacrifice his life. Some people say I'm just like him, a chip off the old block, but trust me, I'm not half the man my father is, and that's not a self-knock. I have many of his qualities, his characteristics, and look, but when God designed my father, he wrote only one book. Dad, you're a great man, as special as can be, and I hope you know, Dad, that I love you just as much as you love me. You've always been there for me, guiding me through thick and through thin, and I know it goes without saying that you would gladly do it all over again. Now, I didn't intend for my poem to get so emotional or my words to be so deep. After all, this is a party in your honor, and I don't want you to fall asleep. So eat, gamble, and enjoy the hell out of your night. You've earned this 70 times over for always doing what you believe to be right. In closing, I will say that there is no exaggeration or pretentiousness in the words I have spoken here tonight. When it comes to the Feldman family, Dad, you are the guiding light. And before I bring him on, like I said, I wanted to talk about read that poem to you. My father is now 79 years old. He has had 3 major back surgery. Both his knees are made out of titanium. He had open heart surgery this past December. His favorite hobbies haven't changed for years: golf and casinos. 1 week ago, for the first time in 14 months, my father played a round of golf. Please give it up for my father, Dr. Irwin Feldman. And the doctor is not past tense. He is still a practicing osteopathic physician today. All right. Hey, can we, Dad, you told me yesterday, and I guess it took 24 hours to sink in, but based on where you were at a year ago, I can't believe you're playing golf again. First of all, happy Father's Day. And when it comes to today, Dad, all I have to say from the bottom of my heart is thank you for everything.
Well, thanks, Brian. That was a beautiful poem. I remember it. And I may be a little bit too much, but I really appreciate it.
Well, I just want, you know, Dad,
I wish you a happy Father's Day, too.
I appreciate it. You know, Dad, it's once a year. It's something. It's a great thing. And I haven't read that poem in a while or spoke it in a while, just because it is difficult to get through. But I needed everyone to know what you mean. And, Dad, listen, you've seen several generations of golfers get into the subject. As of today, who is the best golfer you ever saw?
You know, I still think Jack Nicklaus is the best golfer I ever saw, and Tiger Woods is really a close second.
Yeah, you know, that's still one of my most memorable sports moments. Came in 1996. It wasn't quite Father's Day. It was the Thursday before, and we went to the opening round of the U.S. Open at Oakland Hills Country Club in Bloomfield Hills, and spent the day following Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods their entire round. Tiger was in his first year on tour as a pro. I remember you pointing out to me how far back he took his club and the torque and power of his swing. Looking at that now from a medical standpoint, is that part of the reason he is where he is now?
Oh, no question about it. He just was unwinding so much that no matter how good a physical condition he was getting, his back could not continue to tolerate that for that many years. Hey, and I still miss him. I tell you, when I watch the U.S. Open now, I don't. It's not the same without Tiger Woods being there. He just seemed to make the game a little bit better when he was playing, and a little bit more interesting.
You know, Dad, me and a good friend of mine, Bernie Fratto, who's a regular sportscaster out here, does a lot of shows and stuff. We did a podcast a few years ago out here about Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods, and the subject was, would Tiger Woods catch Jack as far as major championships go? At that point in time, and that was back in 2013, I said that he would, and Bernie said that he wouldn't. And now here we are, fast forward 4 years later. Drugs, the back has just had continuous problems, the knees. Dad, do you think, I mean, he's not, you know, he's in his 40s. Is there still a chance for this guy to come back? I mean, Jack won his last championship, his last major in 1986. He was 46 years old. He won the Masters. Do you think there's a shot at Tiger doing this?
No, I don't think so anymore. I don't think he has the ability to hit the ball as far as these young fellas. And I think He was always in the zone. He was a player that once he got on the golf course, he was in the zone. I don't think he has the ability to do that anymore. I hate to say that. I would like to see him come back and play, but I'm not even sure he's going to play again. But if he does, it'll be next year. But I don't think he has the ability to win any more majors. And if he did it, I would love to see it. I'd love to see him play, you know, just to be on the golf course. I feel bad about everything that happened to him, but when you're in the limelight and things happen, you know, they're blown out of proportion too.
You know, it's really a tragedy, Dad, because the one thing is when Tiger was in his prime, like right now, you know, you look at three of the top five golfers in the world, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, and Rory McIlroy, don't even make the cut at the U.S. Open. In Tiger's prime, when he was number one in the world, that guy didn't miss a single cut, let alone a cut at one of the majors. Really surprising this year. And in this year's U.S. Open, again, heading into today, there is a logjam, and most names in that pack, the general public and even the non-golfing, you know, loving media are unfamiliar with. Do you like the kid who just made history, Justin Thomas, or the current leader, Brian Harman? I think the pressure might get to them, but remember, Dad, Steve Jones won that 96 U.S. Open that we saw. The pressure didn't seem to get to him on Sunday, and he was kind of a nobody.
You know, I think these young fellows now are used to the pressure. I think it's without Tiger there, without Phil Mickelson there, without Rory McIlroy there and some of the other ones, these guys don't have any pressure anymore. Now they're competing with guys just like themselves. And I think we're going to continue to see strangers winning these big tournaments because they're all equal now. The big guys are gone, and I think the guys that are there are just as good now as the other guys were. And things are just different today, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's the conditioning of athletes, the size, the diets. I think so much is more well known today about health and how to keep your body healthier and toxins to avoid, that you really do see a much more fit, chiseled athlete, even in the sport of golf, than you used to. You don't see a lot of players, although you got a guy like Jason Duffner out there, but I don't see a lot of Craig Statlers and John Daly's anymore on the golf course. Most of these guys are in tremendous physical shape. I still think a guy like Ricky Fowler will probably feel the least amount of pressure. He's only a couple of strokes back. He's the favorite, the odds-on favorite out here in Vegas, which is surprising considering he is two strokes back, but people go with the big names. So, Dad, listen, last thing I know before I let you go, what are your plans today? Are you going to stay? I know you're not golfing because all your friends, it's Father's Day. Are you going to stay home and watch the Open?
I'm going to stay home and watch the Open, and we're going to have family over for dinner tonight.
Well, I wish I was close to town so I could join him. Dad, listen. Hey, listen, thanks again for coming on, Dad. The kids both wanted me to tell you happy Father's Day. I love you, and we'll talk to you real soon.
I love you, Brian. Bye now.
All right, listen, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We've got the NBA draft coming up on Thursday, and of course on Wednesday, the NHL draft, expansion draft, I should say, and the awards banquet's going on. Pretty cool. On the other side of this, again, I got a chance to be on Frank Harnish's show on Wednesday, the Golden Knights Insider, which is pretty cool, and we got a chance to talk to one of my hockey idols, Dennis Podfan. You'll get to check that out on the other side of this.
My friends are all telling me, where are you going next week? And I simply tell them I'm going to Paradise, Nevada. And nobody knows where the heck I'm going.
So it is Paradise.
It's going to be fun. My wife and I are going to join a lot of the, you know, the fellows that have been named as nominees for all of these awards. That is always an exciting time. There'll be plenty of the fellows that have been chosen as the top 100 in NHL history that will be there. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see Las Vegas up close and personal. Maybe I'll take a look at the new arena and just get a feel for this new hockey team that's coming into the market.
Dennis Podfan, four-time Stanley Cup champion back in the early 80s with the New York Islanders, just absolutely a bruising, grizzled, wicked team all the way from front to back. The last line of defense might have been one of the most vicious. You don't usually see you don't usually use the term vicious when you talk about a goaltender, but when you talk about Billy Smith, the old goaltender of the New York Islanders, that man, if you got anywhere close to the crease when you took your skates and pads off at the end of the game, what you found were black and blue calves, because he would whack you with that stick on the back of your your leg. Say, get the hell out of my crease. And Dennis Potvin, you know, the only bad part about Dennis Potvin, it's not a bad part, but they kind of stuck him with the label like the next Bobby Orr, because Bobby Orr was coming out when he was coming in. And that is just so unfair to do. But he did put together a 100-point season, three different times, scored over 30 goals or more, I should say. And first guy to, what was it, 1,000 points or 300 points. I don't remember as a defenseman. We were talking about that the other day. I don't have the stats in front of me. But Dennis Potvin was the epitome of what a defenseman should be. And I said back in that time frame, him and Brad Park of the Boston Bruins, you might want to throw Larry Robinson in at Montreal Canadiens and Marty McSorley of the Edmonton Oilers. But he was truly a premier defenseman. It was an honor to speak with him. And again, he'll be handing out the Norris Trophy for the league's top defenseman this year. Some pretty good candidates. And as Frank Harnish talked about on Wednesday, defensemen are so different now. I mean, they're almost goaltenders, except they don't have the pads on. They block everything. It is such a fast, vicious game right now. But all three of the guys in the running, Brent Burns, Victor Heidemann, and Erik Karlsson, all tremendously deserving. I kind of think, in my opinion, I think, and I don't know if Magnum, if you want to chime in here, but Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks, to me, I think will get the award for the Norris Division. I'd be kind of surprised if he didn't. I mean, he's also in the running for the Ted Lindsay Award for the best player. I think, this year, the year he's had, tremendous. And I'm looking forward to the NHL Awards, the ceremony, and the expansion draft. And I know they just let out the list today of the unprotected players in the draft. And I know each team, what was it? Now the deal was the teams had two options for protected players. They could either protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goaltender, or 8 skaters and 1 goaltender. The list was released today. One of the guys, Magnum just told me about, Marcus Kruger of the Chicago Blackhawks was left unprotected. I got to believe he would be in the right in the smack dab in the radar of the Golden Knights as one of the players that we will see coming here to Las Vegas. There'll be a lot more. It's going to be exciting. And, of course, the NHL regular draft is on Friday at the United Center in Chicago, and that's where the Golden Knights will have the 6th pick. And, Mags, you know, I checked something out. In the last 30 years, listen to this, the player picks 6 in the NHL draft. Every single player picked 6 in the NHL draft in the last 30 years has made it to the NHL. Doesn't mean they're a star. They were great. One of them, Peter Forsberg, is a Hall of Famer. So the 6th pick isn't a terrible pick to get.
Yeah, and, you know, you just have to trust the process. I mean, it's such a term that's beaten like a dead horse, trust the process, but... You know, George McPhee, he's a professional. He's been doing this a long time. And just looking at some of the unprotected players, I don't think it's a shock. Marc-Andre Fleury is on that list. You know, the one guy I was hoping for, Silverberg from Anaheim, is actually protected, so he will not be a Golden Knight via expansion draft anyway. James Neal, who is a big star for Nashville in the playoffs, he's unprotected, so he's a guy who...
I would say he's probably a guy coming here.
I think that's definitely a possibility. I mean, we'll see. We'll know on Wednesday, but, you know, looking at some of the names on the list...
They got to put together a team, Mags, and anybody that look like they can play, and you've just mentioned a couple of guys that can definitely play, I got to believe they're going to take a look at those guys. And in Nashville, going as far as they did, everybody had a good chance to look at that entire team. So,
well... And then some of the players are also free agents. Like, you look at who Washington has...
Marc-Andre Fleury, right? He's got to be on the list.
Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury, but the Capitals, who they've left unprotected. TJ Oshie, who...
Wow.
Who is a free agent. So I don't know how that works. I don't know if he's an unrestricted or restricted free agent, but, you know, obviously if they did select him, there would be some things that would need to be worked out.
There's probably a little red tape involved.
Yeah, but TJ Oshie would be a guy who I'd love to see here. He's a really good player, and of course, hell, George McPhee is probably pretty familiar with him. But Yeah, some impressive names.
Marc-Andre Fleury's coming, isn't he?
I think, you know,
that name's been being talked about Magnum since January. Before the playoffs started, they've been saying that's a guy that's going to be left unprotected, and he really improved his value in the postseason, where as much credit as was given to Murray, come on, man, the games that Marc-Andre Fleury was required to fill in for, he played spectacularly.
He did. You know, he is a big reason why they were able to win, or at least get to the Stanley Cup. Looking at some other names, Joe Thornton is a name on the list. I think he's a free agent as well, though. So,
and you know what, Joe Thornton is only, I think, 62 years old.
Yeah,
so he ought to have a good year or two left. I mean, Gordie Howe played till he was 100, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, he was.
Joe Thornton is a stud. Was a stud in the National Hockey League for a long, long time. A power play guru, but he's a little beyond his prime, just slightly.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm looking at some of the other guys on the list, and you know, I guess the Golden Knights have been very quiet about who they are looking at. And you know, obviously today is the first day that they're able to actually see what they're going to have an opportunity to draft. And, you know, we don't know, but, you know, all the speculation is that Marc-Andre Fleury will be
goaltender next year unless something happens to him. I mean, I think it'd be a letdown. The Pittsburgh Penguins just won their second consecutive Stanley Cup, and even though he was not their starting goaltender this year, the bottom line is he is very, very capable and what a great person to put in net. I'll tell you, Max, he might even wear a C. Wearing a C, if he came to Vegas, I would not be shocked at all if they stuck him with the captain moniker.
Yeah, well, and you know, he's a guy. He's got three Stanley Cups.
What experience.
And he probably has, you know, maybe 3-4 years left in him, and he's a guy that you draft, and hopefully the second goalie you take is a guy who's really young that can be molded into and learn from a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, who, you know, one of the most, I thought, impressive things about the Stanley Cup when the Penguins won was Marc-Andre Fleury taking the cup when he raised it above his head, and who did he give it to? He gave it to Matt Murray.
Yeah, he sure did.
You know, and it was almost like a handing off, and all indications were Marc-Andre Fleury was a great teammate. You know, one of the guys who's unprotected, and it's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see him be taken, Mike Fisher. Not that I care that Mike Fisher's a good player or not, but I like what Mike Fisher brings with him to Las Vegas.
It's experience.
Well, let's be honest. We like Mike Fisher because he'd bring Carrie Underwood to Las Vegas.
Yeah, right. She could sing right here. You know, the one thing is, and you did mention it, going back when you talk about a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, another guy just for the experience and all of the grit, Joe Thornton would be a good fit simply to teach the guys, and a guy that's going to bond people together. And also, both those guys are players that command instantaneous respect, which is something you need in the locker room if you're going to have leaders. Real quick, Mags, but we got to go to break. But before we do, NBA draft is also coming up Thursday, and that is, of course, at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And bottom line is, Mags, amazing trade yesterday. The Boston Celtics get rid of the number one pick, and Philadelphia picks up on that. I love what Philadelphia is doing. I don't think they're going to win right away. They're very young, but it's a strong team, and I'll tell you what, bottom line is Markelle Fultz is going to the Philadelphia 76ers.
I think it'd be pretty cool just being with the young team. I think the upside of it would be crazy. Like I said, I'm close to home, so a lot of my friends can come out and just show love. And this city has great fans.
City's got great fans. The city of brotherly love is going to be pretty happy. You add Fultz to the list of Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and even Jahlil Okafor. I'm telling you what, that's an exciting team. Like I said, Mags, I don't think Philadelphia is going to come out like a house on fire, but they could make the playoffs, and they are going to, at times, really thrill you. You've got some great young talent. And the thing is, they have good bigs. Now you're adding the best point guard in the draft, and there is no question. I'll tell you right now, I like Lonzo Ball. I really do. I think he has a tremendous basketball IQ. The hell with what everyone has problem with his father. But the bottom line is, Markelle Fultz is ready for the NBA right now, and this guy could be an all-star in his first year. You're listening to Out of Line. We're going to come back. We have Blazin', we have Fact This, and a great interview coming up in a little while with Doug Bradford and his son Chase Bradford of the Las Vegas 51s.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why I'm hot.
Time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, and America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Come on up during football season. I am there every Monday night for Las Vegas' best Monday night football party. We're giving away wings. We're giving away replica jerseys. It's a great time. And Blazin' today, it's simple. Although Magnum took off, he forgot. I need my sound, and I don't have it. Let me see if I can find something else here with it. This guy right here, I would say, to say he's Blazin' might be the understatement of the century. We're talking a lot about Justin Thompson and that 63 he put up yesterday, which is absolutely unbelievable. One of the greatest feats in the history of golf. 9 under par for a round. But while he was doing that, everyone was kind of forgetting about this guy, Brian Harman, playing behind him. And Brian Harman did nothing but follow suit, continue to make pars, make birdies, and came in as the leader today. And I'd say Brian Harman might be a little bit overlooked this morning. So, Mags, have we got that tape rolling with Brian Harman? Because he's Blazin', man.
I think it's just knowing my game. You know, I can't hit it as far as some of those guys, but I hit it far enough. You know, I knocked it on the first green and two, so I hit it far enough. But, you know, I'm just trying to play my game. I'm not worried about what anybody else is doing, and we'll see how tomorrow goes.
Well, tomorrow is today, and we'll see how today goes. I'm looking pretty forward to seeing what this guy does. I mean, you know, the World Series of Poker is going on. I'm playing different tournaments every day. I took today off of poker because I have got to see the final round in the U.S. Open. First time at the course in Erin Hills in Erin, Wisconsin, and it's going to be fun. I mean, you're watching them go very low. It rained a little bit, I guess, yesterday, so it's going to slow things down a bit. It'll be a very interesting final round, and I'd say Brian Harman might just be Blazin' too. All right, well, listen, it's time for Fact This, and let me tell you what the fact is. The Boston Celtics traded the number one pick to ultimately get Jimmy Butler from the Bulls. Watch, that's what's going to happen, Mags. That's why they did it. That's why they made the trade. They want Jimmy Butler, and the reason they're doing it is they want to try to get a little closer to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let me tell you something. This is what's going to happen. The end result will remain the same. Nothing. Cleveland will still be a better team as long as LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are on the team. Jimmy Butler is not going to put Boston over that hump. I love you, Isaiah Thomas, but not that good. Okay, listen, real quickly, I want to get to this. And Mags, you got the interview, right? Play that right now, and there's a reason I'm playing this now. Magnum asked me a long time ago why I didn't play this interview when I first recorded it at the beginning of the Las Vegas 51 season. I said, I've got a plan in mind, and you'll learn what that is. This is Chase Bradford. I got a chance to talk to him at the very beginning of this season, and this is going to answer all your baseball questions. So when we do the interview after this, you'll see why I said it's kind of a special interview. His dad, who's sitting next to me, doesn't even know what I got planned.
Here we are, another year, 51's report, first one of the year, Chase Bradford, Las Vegas native. I got to tell you, honestly, last year at this time, I didn't think I'd see you down here again this year.
Yeah, you know, it happens. I'm going to try to take advantage of being here, obviously. I think I learned a lot this spring that will help me propel me to the big leagues. So.
Well, give me some examples of those things, because I know you are a student of the game and you are working as hard as anybody on this team to get to the big squad.
I was told I need to throw more sinkers, so I've worked on a couple different sinker grips to get a little more straight down movement instead of side to side. Learned a little harder slider. So in my mechanics, we figured some things out with those. So there's been a lot of work put in this spring training and off season.
coming in again this year, how much of an advantage is it, Jason? You've gotten to play on this field. They call this a hitter's ballpark. The air's thinner here. So you really have to keep the ball down and away and play and spot your pitches. How much does it help you out to have a lot of familiarity with Cashman?
Oh, it's great. You learn a lot your first year, first couple years here. You give up home runs that are pop-ups, you know. Guys stick their butt out and just throw the bat at it and it goes out. It's like, well, you know, that was a good pitch, but I couldn't do anything about it. So you kind of learn to forget about those things. You know, you make a good pitch and a guy hits a home run or a cheap home run, it happens. You move on and you figure it out from there.
Taking your lumps down here probably definitely helps you out. How about Frank Viola? What has he meant to you, your development, your growth as a pitcher?
Frank's been with me for 5 of my 7 years in Pro Bowl. I think he is a very skilled pitching coach mentally wise. He keeps you focused for the whole season. And he's a good person to go talk to, or just about anything. But baseball-wise, he's very wise in that aspect of, you know, staying focused, getting through the grind, and just getting after it every single day.
Here's the redundancy. Again, a kid from Vegas, you're playing here, you've got family and friends. That's got to be great for them to see and you watch her. But did it get discouraging as well? Because I'm sure the questions come up all the time. Jason, when are we going to see you in that Mets uniform?
No, not really. I don't think so because, you know, I'm still playing baseball at the highest level below the big leagues. So you can't really be mad at that. I got here in a good amount of time when I wasn't expected to. So, I mean, it's just a time thing. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, so what? You know, I got to play baseball for a good part of my life. And, you know, having my family and friends around to see me play, it's awesome. You can't beat it.
Icing on the cake. What about Pedro Lopez? You've gotten Wally Backman in the past 4 years, the longest standing manager. I was amazed he was here as long as it was. I know a player's coach. What about Pedro Lopez? He's been in the system a while. I think 13 years in the Mets organization. What has he brought to you so far, and what do you think?
I played for Pedro when he was the AA manager in 2014. I think I was there. He's a great guy. He's a great manager. He knows the game of baseball, just like you're saying. He's a student of the game, and he loves it. And, you know, I think that's what you have to have in a manager. And, you know, he's been around a while. He's been a good manager. So I'm excited for this year for sure.
Nobody puts more expectations on players than themselves. What are the expectations Jason Bradford's putting on himself in 2017?
Oh, man. They usually have you this year. I'm going to have fun. That's it. No expectations. Just go out there every day. Try to do my job. If I don't do it, move on. And just have a good time.
I love that answer. Hey, congratulations. Best of luck.
Hey, you know what? I love the answer. I said it then. It was a great answer. That's what it's all about, is having fun and just going back and enjoying himself. And Jason Bradford can get the job done. He's a major league pitcher. And sooner or later, I think we're going to see him in the major leagues. His good friend Paul Sewald finally got the call up this year, back for a minute, back up and back down. And, you know, I was just talking to Doug Bradford, who's here. First of all, welcome to Out of Line, Doug. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Pulled you off the golf course.
Yeah, I was actually shooting pretty well, too, for once in my life.
63 today?
No, I was on par for 70, so.
Holy cow. Yeah. Okay, well, we will never play golf together, that's for sure. I'll caddy for you, maybe.
Okay, there
you go. I'll go that far. But, you know, I'll tell you what. This 51s team this year is a little bit different than we've seen last year. I think they're getting so depleted up in the big club that we're seeing a lot of the players, you know, get mixed around. But I want to get Chasen's on the phone, right? Oh, man, Magnum just let me know that. I wasn't aware. I'm sorry. Chasen, first of all, welcome to Out of Line, man. How you doing up there in Reno?
I'm good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. Listen, the whole thing was, and the reason I played the interview that I did with you back before the season started was for one reason. There's not really any baseball or any questions coming from me whatsoever. Your dad's here with me right now, and I'm going to do something that I've wanted to do for a long time. Turn the mic over to someone else. Your dad is going to conduct this interview. I'm just simply here to say hello, and thanks for joining the show. Doug, take over, man.
Hey, good morning, my son.
Hey, Paul, what's up?
Nothing. Did you get a lot of sleep last night, or did we have to wake you up a little bit early this morning?
It was an early wake-up call, but I got to go to the field soon anyway, so it's all right.
Yeah, I hear you. You sound a little groggy, but that's the morning time. So, listen, how do you feel in the season? What's your prognosis for your pitching?
I feel good about it. You know, ups and downs, as usual, as baseball is. But, you know, I've been having a good time. Just enjoying every day getting to go to the field. So, I mean, it's been pretty good so far.
Well, you're like a specialty pitcher in that you you close games out. How important is it for you to have a continuous opportunity to pitch?
I think with anybody, it's a rhythm thing. If you get out of rhythm, it's hard to get back on there, and having a bunch of days off in a row. That's why we're relievers and we're not starters. So we need to pitch a lot. I think just being in a rhythm is really helpful into being sharp all the time.
Yeah, it seems like the team is a little bit up and down. One day you'll be winning, and you'll be winning by large numbers. The next day, you don't have that opportunity. It's kind of an up and down ball game, right?
Oh yeah, it's definitely different, especially in this league. This league, you've seen the games.
Yeah,
you can have a 2-1 ball game, and the next day it'll be 15-3 or something.
Yeah. Hey, what is your favorite kind of ballpark to pitch in? Now, we kind of touched on this the other night. You said something about I like pitching up in the Tacoma area. Why is that?
Oh yeah, Tacoma, because it's humid and your stuff actually moves. In Vegas, it's so dry that the ball just cuts through it. Same thing with Colorado. That's why the guys don't like pitching at Mile High. The ball just cuts through the thin air, and when you get to Tacoma and it's humid and a little bit damp, it definitely helps the ball move more.
Well, the other night I was at the ball game too, and they had the humidifiers on for most of the game. And I remember last year, at least Don Logan told me that they like to shut the humidifiers off right when the game starts. But it seems like this year they've kept them on much longer. Is that potentially to help the pitchers out?
I don't know about that. I think it's just hot.
Yeah, it is hot.
I mean, it was 115 the other day, so I think that's more of a reason.
Yeah.
And especially with all the fans, especially on Thursday and Friday night.
Yeah.
All the fans sitting so close to each other, it's going to be super hot. So you got to cool them down a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, the team's been up and down this year. What do you think is going to happen after the All-Star break?
Well, I think we'll just keep playing.
Well, yeah, you're going to keep playing, of course. You got to play 140 games.
But I think that's all we can do. No matter what happens with, guys getting called up and stuff, we're just going to keep competing out there. So,
yeah. Do you find when guys get called up that breaks the chemistry of the team?
No. I mean, sometimes a couple of guys, you can tell that they're a little disappointed. But, chemistry, I don't think so, because this is a pretty good group of guys and they just like to have a lot of fun. So we try to keep it loose, and I don't think it really matters who goes up and down. They kind of come in and fit right in. So
good. So your arm is doing well, right? You're feeling comfortable, feeling healthy, feeling strong.
All good.
I got two questions I want to ask him. One, Jason, do you like the role of closer?
Not really, not necessarily. I mean, I'll do it because that's what they gave me the job to do. I mean, I came up in the minors as a seventh, eighth inning guy, and I'm used to throwing, four times a week, and in this league, it's kind of hard to have a closer. So, not really, but it's a job they gave me, so I'm going to do it.
How about the move to Summerlin? I mean, it's still a little bit of ways. They haven't broken ground or anything yet, but it's pretty much of a done deal right now. Is that something for the city of Las Vegas? You've seen it down in Cashman. As a player, does it matter to you whether you play downtown or up north in Summerlin, or is it kind of exciting to think, hey, we're going to get a real modern ballpark here in Las Vegas in the near future?
I think it's very exciting to get a new ballpark there. It's time. It's needed. I mean, 35 years of Cashman, that's a long time, especially when all these other teams are building brand-new stadiums. I mean, it seems like every 10 years. So to have a new stadium going up in Summerlin, I think it'll be great for families and just be easier to get out to also.
And I think it'll eventually lead to a major league franchise in Las Vegas as well. Well, before we let you go, something with your dad now. You know, guys, it's kind of time to wish your dad a happy Father's Day. And that little speech my dad was on earlier took everything I could get not to choke myself up. My dad just had open-heart surgery, and I'm so blessed to have him alive at 79. And I don't know if you got to hear, Doug, you might have been on the golf course and chasing him. My father, his whole goal, he had a bucket list to get him through his open-heart surgery, his last back surgery, and to get him where was to get back on the golf course at least one more time. Last week, after 14 months, my dad played a round of golf. Oh, and it almost broke me up today talking to him on the phone, knowing how much it meant to him, and hearing him yesterday so excited to tell me about his first round of golf in 14 months, man. It was awesome. So please wish each other happy Father's Day here on the show. I really appreciate you getting up a little bit early, Chasen, and taking the time to join us today.
Of course, no problem. And Duggars, I love you, man.
I love
Happy
you, too.
Happy Father's Day, all right?
Thank you. And, you know, and I'm really blessed to have two great sons that really mean the world to me. I'm extremely proud of who they, the men that they've become, and the future that they have in store for them. One of them, his older brother Mark, is in the Navy, and he's doing some incredible things with serving our country. And Chase is also doing some incredible things on the ball field. So I'm very, very blessed to have great kids.
And, hey, I'm honored to have you both on the show. I've been very blessed and honored to have
you
on the show.
Been
a while, man. We started putting this together last year, and here it is, man. We got it done. Yeah. Thanks again, Chasen, man. Great luck this afternoon, and we'll see you back in Cashman at the end of the week.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, love you, bub.
See you, Pa. Love you.
See ya.
All right. Hey, it's out of line, and Magnum, we appreciate it. Doug, you can hang around. We only got a few more minutes for the show. We're about heading out of here right now. Just to wrap things up today again, we got the NBA draft coming up Thursday, the NHL draft Friday. We have a big day here in Vegas Wednesday, something we've been waiting for a long time with the expansion draft and the NHL award show. Pretty cool. Mags, go ahead real quickly. Fill them in. You've got your podcast coming up. Mags is the soccer man, and I watch it every Sunday morning. I watch the guy go through emotions. He's flopped on the ground before. I mean, it's great to have someone get that into soccer here. I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it.
Only when Liverpool plays, though. Right now, we, of course, Sunday, we've got soccer on in the studio, right? Confederations Cup, Mexico, and Portugal. Two of the best players in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo and, of course, Chicharito, which I found out means little P, apparently. I did not know that, but apparently that's what that's all about. But soccer podcast is up. We hit a heavy dose of World Cup qualifying. It's amazing. I was attending World Cup qualifying matches in Asia, which started in 2015, to qualify for Russia in 2018. So that's how long the process is. But heavy dose of that.
USA going to qualify for the World Cup?
You know, they played really well against Mexico the other night. Of course, I talked about that. And I think they're okay. I think they have a huge game coming up in September. They host Costa Rica. If they can come away with a win, they're in really good shape, especially if Panama or Honduras slip up, and they both have games against Mexico coming up. So U.S. looking pretty good. I didn't think Bruce Arena was going to right the ship, but he did, and thank goodness.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, and it'd be terrible if they didn't make the World Cup this time around. Mm-hmm. After last time, it got so many people into the soccer. Mm-hmm. The way they played and the fact making it to the second round, it was gigantic for the country. And for them to not make it now, how disenchanting that would be. Well, listen, for you, Doug, what's your feelings, man? Professional sports in Vegas in the last year, we have just watched it explode. We've got an NHL franchise now. Actually, we're going to be the hub for them here at Fox Sports Radio. And we've got a football team coming. And as we talked about, I think it's only a matter for before the other two sports follow suit.
I just think it's amazing. I've lived in Las Vegas since 1985, and then the growth of this community is great. It's about time Vegas is recognized as being a sports hub of the country. I mean, we have all the casinos and we have all the betting on all the different sports. But now that we've got quality teams coming in, the NHL, I think what the Golden Knights have done to spur sports and the excitement of sports in town is just incredible. And I think they're going to be a great team coming out of the gate. I mean, what I hear from the opportunity for the draft picks that they have, they're going to get some really great, great players. And so, of course, the Raiders coming here, that's going to have a different kind of effect on us. But we are going to be a pro team. And whether or not they build a bigger stadium up in Summerlin, that's to be seen. But we're there. We're there. We have an opportunity to be great. Have more people come to our community because they'd like to see sports.
And appreciate you being on the show. We're out of time. This is Out of Line. Thanks to my dad, Dr. Feldman, Doug, and, of course, Chase and Bradford. Thanks to Magnum. We're here next week. Out of Line. Fox Sports Radio. See you then.